everybody, and welcome to our latest podcast. Today, it's me, Duncan Williams, and my partner, John Newsome.
Good morning.
So today, we're going to talk about some regular topics, and we're also going to talk about one or two different things. Let's start with interest rates, which is our regular subject. Nothing's happened in the last couple of weeks, but there have been a lot of comments, or further comments, that interest rates are likely to stay higher for longer. A lot of organisations are cutting the number of potential cuts during the current calendar year. At one stage, somebody, I think, was saying 6 cuts in the States, but I mean, that's been trimmed to 3. And the Bank of England are making various noises that there might not be any cuts this year, potentially. There might be just a nod in the right direction or in a downward direction. But as you said last time, John, the problems in the Red Sea are creating increased costs for shipping companies. I noticed that Muller Maersk, his share price is at a low at the moment. But the cost of going around the Cape of Good Hope is significantly more than going through the Suez Canal. So inflationary pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the wake of the pandemic, and in the wake of mass money printing and governments, they're all spending far, far more than their tax bases allow. The very simple reality is that Western-style economies have become more prone to inflation for a myriad of reasons. And I think that is now baked in. And it's difficult to hit inflation targets against that kind of background. And as we've said many times before, they've all made such a hash of their inflation targets that if they take their foot off the gas now in terms of actually trying to get inflation under control, they risk another forest fire starting, which will batter their already shredded credibility. So I think for all those reasons, we're probably looking at interest rates staying higher for longer.
I do get the impression that people are reining in their spending a little bit at the moment. There seem to be less people in our town, at least. The restaurants seem to be a little bit quieter. I think that sort of the high-end cars and holidays and things are starting to struggle a little bit. And we said before that we've got these 1.6 million more mortgages being reset this year. I suspect that some of these people will be in for a bit of a shock.
I think in general, yes. Although holidays and travel does seem to be relatively buoyant. I wonder if people are just, they've got a bit of pent-up travel lust that they wish to satisfy. I'm just in the process of looking at holidays now, and it's not cheap. I'm looking at a holiday, and it's probably 30% more than I thought it might be.
Yeah.
And it's not Sandy Lane in Barbados or anything like that. So it would appear that for whatever reason, there's quite a bit of buoyancy in travel at the minute.
One of the indexes which is very rarely talked about, John, is the TK Maxx index. And my wife comes home when she's been loitering in there and tells me that the quality of the goods are going up, yet the prices aren't going up, which would suggest to me that some of these buyers who were buying Le Creuset or whatever it might have been in boutique shops are no longer doing that. And these boutique shops are going bust, and TK Maxx are buying up the goods and then trying to sell more of it to my wife.
And are they being successful? It sounds like they are.
No, thankfully not. Let's move on now to something far more important. Super Tuesday is coming up in America, and it looks as though Trump is sort of getting the nominations through. So we've got a choice, by the looks of things, come later this year. Sleepy Biden or Mr. Trump? And I have to say, because of his age, I just do not see how people are going to have the confidence in Biden. And it looks as though Mad Trump, if I can say that,
you just did,
might well return to the White House. So what's that going to have on capital markets? What effect is it going to have?
I think Trump talks a good game, but he talks about draining the swamp. But the swamp just seemed to be as swampy as it was at the end of his presidency as it was at the beginning. So I don't think that anyone expecting Donald Trump to have an effect on matters. If he becomes president, it will just be another 4 years of the Washington swamp.
It looks as though he's going to continue with the protectionist sort of policies and trying to make America great again. And I guess certain stuff will continue to be reshored. I mean, there is that move anyway. But again, that's something else which is inflationary, I would guess.
Yeah, I think reshoring or nearshoring has to be inflationary because other than the slightly reduced transport costs, labour costs in general are going to be higher. So it's all grist to that inflationary mill.
So America will remain the land of opportunity?
Yes, I think it probably will. Obviously, it still is the largest economy in the world, but it's the most vibrant as well. The wealth of the United States historically has been built upon free enterprise, and it still is.
And that brings me on to the budget, where our friend Mr. Hunt is going to stand up tomorrow at his dispatch box and make various comments. Your thoughts, John?
Well, he's got a bit of a job on, hasn't he? But in the old days, budgets used to be really important, and you would scrutinise everything that was said. But I think in today's world, I almost lost interest in it. Clearly, his room for manoeuvre is very limited. I won't be listening to his every word, really.
Not like the good old days, where our former senior partner used to bring in a small black and white television set.
Yes.
30 years ago. We didn't have any TV licence, but he did switch it on, and we all sat round it watching the budget, wondering what effect it would have on investors.
Yes, I'd just like to say I wasn't a partner of that business, so the fact there was no TV licence was absolutely nothing to do with me. I was merely an employee. but I think that illustrates what I'm saying, which was in those days, it was probably more than 30 years ago, it really was an important event. I think, you know, the world is much more interconnected now. What the UK Chancellor does is less powerful than what it used to
be. It's like a captain of a supertanker. You're not going to turn it around. You're not going to turn it 90 degrees right in a hurry or speed it up or slow it down. It's just subtle differences.
The cynic in me that looms large usually most of the time will say that it'll just be a lot of presentational pap in order to have a last-ditch attempt to try and win the election.
Okay, well, let's move on now. China have come out with some ambitious numbers for growth next year. 5% target, keep inflation under control, lower interest rates, etc. Second biggest economy in the world. I do question whether in 12 months' time analysts will be looking back and confirming those numbers, of course, unless the numbers have been manipulated, if I can say that.
Chinese economic numbers being manipulated? Are you crazy, Duncan?
Must be.
It's strange, isn't it, how that 5% number for years and years has sort of floated about. They're like all communists. They don't understand free markets, and I think they've got into a heck of a pickle over the last sort of 5 years or so. So I wouldn't trust any numbers that came out of China.
It's all about property, isn't it? And obviously interest rates are rising, and it's the amount of debt on that, all the property which they've been building, is causing the problem.
You can see they have a massive property problem, and linked to that is a massive banking problem. But I suspect that the Chinese Communist Party will do whatever they have to do to keep the show on the road. So however that is done, so I don't think they'll end up with a banking crisis that sees banks fail.
And as long as they don't invade Taiwan, we're all right.
Well, yes. AI needs the silicon chips, doesn't it?
Yeah. And Japan continues to boom. And I see that inflation has finally, I think, reached target. I think it's the first time it's been at target in something like 22 years.
It's a strange place. I'll be able to report back because that's where I'm thinking of going. Their debt to GDP ratio is off the charts compared to any other Western style government. But one way or another, they just seem to kind of stumble through. It's like Japan as an investment idea has become sexy again, but they still have a very, an aging population. It operates by rules that are totally different to just about anywhere else. But yes, having, 34 years from when the Nikkei was last at this level. You know, for the moment, everything looks to be certainly better than it was. But I don't think that, certainly demographically, nothing's changed.
One last snippet of information, John, I read this morning is that EDF, which is the French energy company, has made an announcement to the market this morning that one of its nuclear reactors, which it's currently building, price, surprise, the cost of it, gone up.
Oh, yes. Well, again, inflationary. And I think, in a wider sense, brings us back to another old chestnut of ours, which is that the cost of energy is not going to fall for all sorts of reasons. Renewables are not carrying the baton. You only have to look and see what's going on with electric cars. It looks like people are losing interest in those. Fine if you want to buzz around town, but as a vehicle that will do everything and get you from Harrogate down to Bristol, they have problems with them. So I think renewables are actually far more expensive than people have been told. You only have to look at the subsidies that new wind turbine fields are demanded by their operators to see that what the real cost is. Again, it comes back to, I think, fossil fuels are a long way from being phased out, and the construction costs and the time delays that inevitably end up in major projects like nuclear power stations. A, it's inflationary, and B, in order to get extra nuclear capability, it's going to take a long, long time. It really does show the catastrophic stupidity of Germany canning its nuclear industry in the wake of the Japanese Fukushima disaster. Why a country in Europe that has no earthquake concerns would do that, beggars belief. But again, Germany, or the Germans who are meant to be smart cookies, they were also at the same time getting addicted to Vlad's oil and gas, weren't they? So they've really made a pig's ear of it energy-wise.
So this weekend then, I'm going to go out and buy a wood-burning stove and a little bit of woodland.
I've had a couple of trees blow down on my land, so I do have a barn full of...
Do you deliver?
..of wood. No, I don't deliver. You'll have to come up and pick it up, but I do have a lot of it, so if you want some, come and get it.
So let's just talk about the industry then, finally. We mentioned the budget earlier. As my wife says, they can only tax those who have. They cannot tax those who haven't. So I'm sceptical there's going to be good news in the budget. There was a lot of talk about them reducing inheritance tax, maybe increasing the allowances, etc. I don't think that's going to happen, would be my prediction. My concern is CGT, because they've reduced the tax-free allowances. But what would be a bit of a disaster, I think, is if they start charging tax at your marginal rate of tax. So those are two points which we're going to be looking at. Keeps on coming back to a regular thing here. It means ISAs are ever more important. Get those gains, that income, sheltered. We have clients now who started off with personal equity plans all those years ago who have more than £1 million in ISAs and are getting some lovely tax-free income.
I regard ISAs as important as pensions. With the pension, you get the tax relief on the way in. You don't get it on the way out. It reverses with the ISA. You don't get the tax relief on the way in, but you do on the way out. And if you're not using them, I think you're missing a trick.
Yeah, absolutely. And some more news in the last week or so has been one of our major competitors, which is a quoted company, its share price fell significantly when it made its regular annual announcement. And it looks as though they're going to have to fork out some compensation for overcharging clients. This has all come about due to consumer duty rules introduced by the FCA, the Financial Conduct Authority, in the last 12 months or so. The company's share price at one point was down 75% from its all-time peak. It's starting to look a little bit fragile. And that's just not me saying that. I think it doesn't matter whether you're a financial services company or a widget company or a brewer. Share prices fall 75%. I think there have been people sniffing at the lifeboats. We've had a few inquiries. It's going to be very interesting to monitor that situation.
Yeah, well, I think the business model is finished, isn't it? Or the prior business model.
Yeah. So we will keep you updated. Thank you everyone for listening again. If you've enjoyed it, please subscribe. Please tell your friends. We've discussed interest rates, Mr. Trump, might have to call him President Trump in 12 months' time, the budget this week, and a little bit about the markets, and a little bit about how the budget might affect clients going forward. Hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll speak to you next time.
Goodbye.
This material shouldn't be considered as advice or an investment recommendation. You should consult an advisor regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority prior to making investment decisions. All investments carry a degree of risk. The value of any investment or income received from it can go up as well as down, and you may not get back the amount invested. information recorded within this podcast was accurate at the time of recording.